Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we have Stephen Bassett, Election 2020, The Meaning for Disclosure. So as I was saying, as much as NICAP may have been a threat to a government program, once again, it was not a well-run organization. Have you followed its history much, Stephen?
I have some understanding about that. Let's just say that what was most important about NICAP was not necessarily how well it was run. It was the membership. They had a substantial membership, and these were high-level people. They had CIA people on the board of directors. In other words, the board of directors of NICAP is probably the most heavy-duty board that any group in this genre has ever had. Now, why that is not clear. Later, it seems as if one of the reasons there were some high-level people on the board and others was because they were there to make sure the organization didn't become too successful. They may even played a role in, how would you say, making it run not so well. I mean, ultimately, it was the CIA guys on the board that wrapped it all up, closed down all the offices, and kept all the money. So I wouldn't dump it all on Keogh. And one of the reasons that Keogh got a bad rap is they said he had a bad rap. In other words, the board members said he wasn't running the thing very well. Well, it's hard to trust these guys when I think some of them were CIA operatives. Not operatives. They were openly CIA, right? But the way they handled the wrap-up of NICAP clearly indicated their interest was not in the truth. So I'm a little more generous on that. But NICAP was powerful because of the people there. Of course, McDonald's work, which was associated with NICAP. And it had to get shut down, and they shut it down. They began the process of shutting it down. And it was pretty much neutered by the time they shut down Blue Book. And that's the first phase, I guess, of the period of the truth embargo from 47 to 69. The truth embargo took a while to build. It wasn't fully comprehensive, and it was high levels of public interest. During that period from 47 to 69, it was rough waters for them. They were tied up in knots. It was a pain. It was a real, real problem. It was increasingly clear to them that in spite of the fact that they were defending the country from the evil communists and building all these nukes, that the people just weren't going to stop leaving them alone. And so they were sort of able to shut things down in that period right after 69. And they got a period of calm when they weren't being bugged so much, but not surprisingly, it all reignited about 10 years later and has never settled down since. So that's my sense of that. But what changed? Is as I've said many times and will continue to say relentlessly for the next 3 to 4 months, is that after decades and decades of work by the citizen science people and the journalists, elements within the Department of Defense made the decision that the people do have a right to know and they can handle the truth, and they were going to take concrete, significant action to resolve and end the truth embargo. And the method that they chose was to greenlight the formation of a NGO made up of nothing but inside-type high-security clearance people, no longer on the payroll, who would jump into this issue and advance it forward with their blessing. And ultimately cooperation, though it was kind of messy, not surprisingly. And when that happened, then things took place that had not happened before. In other words, once they made that decision, then it was possible to get the gun camera footage. Prior to that, we weren't going to get it. And so the gun camera footage release and other things that have happened since the launch in October of 2017 are directly connected back to the support within the military intelligence complex. Whoever it is, wherever it is, we do not know. But it's there. Because if the military intelligence complex did not want the TTSA to exist, it would not exist. And so that tells us a great deal. And that's why, and it's because of that, that huge change of state, October 2017, that set us on the path to disclosure. But it was complicated by the political dynamics, which were a mess, which are about to be resolved. And as a result, we go to the next stage, the next level, and that level is congressional hearings.
Of course, if we're going to be jaded at all, congressional hearings quite often are just showpieces. Yes. Where the politician makes a speech that can be recorded and played back during a campaign event or something like that.
Correct.
A lot of times these hearings, such as the, what, 8 hearings on Benghazi, resolve nothing. And remember, too, in the 60s when we had the hearings, we got the Condon Committee. So I may feel like I'm a jaded old man, but why should we think that even if hearings occur, anyone's going to care, and that's going to do anything different?
Yeah, these are perfectly appropriate thoughts. There are hearings from 66 and 68, deep in the Cold War period, the truth embargo, could never go anywhere. And they were really mostly for show, frankly. So just put those aside. This is 2021. Secondly, the amount of posturing and showboating and lathering that you get from committee members during hearings is directly proportional to the degree of partisanship. And it's true, particularly in the last 30 years when we've developed one of the worst hyperpartisan stretches in American congressional history. Almost anything comes up from the hearings has got substantial partisan implications, and so they just posture like crazy for the sound bites and everything. I totally agree. Fortunately for us, thank God, the extraterrestrial issue, as it will be brought to the House and Senate, is pure national security. It's not partisan at all. There's no Democrat or political component, a Republican component to it. It's what are the national security implications of unidentified aerial phenomena. And this is great because it means that all the committee members can question the witnesses without any partisan components designed to somehow help them get reelected. They don't need to. All they just get the information. They're all going to be heroes. Nobody's going to be more a hero than a less of a hero. All right. So I don't think you're going to have that problem. And in terms of the importance of the hearings, hearings are as important as the number of people that watch them. The McCarthy hearings had huge audience, and a number of things came out of that. There have been hearings in our history that were profound, but usually they had huge audience. The more people that watch, the more pressure on the Congress to do its job properly and to take action based upon the information. The hearings on the ET issue this time around will be the most watched hearings in American history. They may even become the most watched anything. I think they will approach the level of the Olympics in terms of the number of people watching. Now, maybe not every minute, but in terms of the number of people that are watched, a portion of these hearings will be up there in the level of the Olympics, might well surpass it. And so you have all these members of the committees in front of a mass audience. They are the star of an incredibly important play. Everybody's got a chance to be on the stage, and they're going to enjoy the hell out of it, and they're going to do, I think, a pretty good job. And that will be good for the country, and they'll all win. They'll all get glory. They'll all be told, wow, that's fantastic. Thanks for helping us get this information out. Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter. Now, if the Democrats are controlling the Senate, if the Democrats are controlling the committee chairs, then obviously they will get a bit more of the glory. Hopefully they will not use their chairmanship in order to sort of make the hearings lean too much their way or give them more action. If they're smart, they won't do that. And it may be that the Republicans will control the Senate, in which case they'll have a little leverage there to give themselves a little more credit, and the Democrats will do the same in the House. So there's, I think, a better than 50-50 chance the Democrats are going to get the Senate as well.
We've got more to come and more determinations to make. but not on votes because I don't think I can handle any more of it. Stephen Bassett and Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispicos. 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
This is how we do every day. We keep running. And if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music, then pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So just to point this out, as we do this episode, there's going to be a runoff election for 2 Senate seats in Georgia, January 5th, and I'm not going to predict who's going to win, obviously. If the Republican candidates win, or even one of them, the Republicans remain in control of the Senate. If the two Democrats win, it will be a 50-50 tie, in which case the vice president will be the one to be the tiebreaker on everything. So Vice President-elect Harris is going to be spending all her time in the Senate. She's going to have a cot living there.
Not exactly. She will show up if there is a tie. At the very end, when the votes are coming, but whatever. She will show up when there's a tie on a vote. She won't have a play in the committee hearings. In terms of how the Senate gets, how the committees get handled, I'm not quite sure. I should check it out. It may be that in a tie Senate, every one of the committees has an equal number of Democrats and Republicans and may all have co-chairs. Not sure about that. I know that, well, actually, I think I do know. They don't have co-chairs. I think they'll all have, if the Democrats control the Senate through the vice presidential vote, I think they get the committee chair. So all the Senate committees will have Democratic committee chairs. But I have a feeling that the members will be split evenly, which is not that big a deal. It's not like the Democrats can run roughshod in the Senate, because when you're split 50-50, all it takes is one Democrat to vote the other way. So there's going to have to be some bipartisanship going on there. But in terms of the hearings, I don't think it'll much matter. It won't much matter. The committee chairs are all ready for these hearings, Democrats and Republicans. I see no reason why McConnell, for instance, would try to stand in the way of this. I can't imagine why he would do that, assuming he remains as the Senate Majority Leader. But, can't rule it out. But it almost doesn't matter, because even if the Senate decided to stay out of the, not come to the dance, these hearings are going to go on in the House, lots of them. And then the interest will pile up, the viewership will pile up, extraordinary testimony will be written up in newspapers and so forth. And at some point, the Senate, there's no way they're going to stay out of that. They're going to see all this going on, and they're going to say, wait a minute, we can't just stand down. And so they will quickly, I think, decide, fine, we want our hearings as well. So I'm not too worried about the hearings not being both houses.
Okay, and let's look at the trigger points, though. So the Pentagon UAP task force was given, 6 months to come up with a report?
Right.
Okay, it takes us, obviously, to 2021. If they don't produce a report, what happens? They can say, well, we need more time. Give us another 6 months. Is there a compelling reason for them to report within those 6 months, and even then to give something that's so important it generates hearings?
Here's how I see it. The hearings are separate from this report thingy. The hearings are based upon getting witness testimony. And the witnesses are being lined up, and the committee chairs have been briefed. This is all Mellon's work, going back good ways. They're going to happen. Now, this whole business about the report comes from a maneuver by Rubio. Rubio was briefed. And we don't know how many briefings he had, but we know one briefing he had, and that was Eric Davis. Dr. Eric Davis went public and said that he had briefed Rubio and I think Warner. And they may have gotten another briefing from the pilots, but when Davis briefed them, it was pretty intense. And he got into the area of crash retrievals. And if you don't believe me, look it up. It's on, I can find it right now if we take the time, but it's in my news article archive. You can actually find the article about Davis briefing, these guys. And that was on crash retrieval. That kind of quieted down afterwards, because that was pretty hot. That was a hot deal. All right. So, what's going on here? I think Rubio, was able to insert himself, and he got a briefing. That doesn't mean he's going to that anything's going to come from that, right? And it's supposedly a private briefing. Mark Walker in the House got a briefing. He chose to do something. He inserted himself into the issue by sending a letter to Secretary Spencer of the Navy, and that caused a bit of a kerfuffle, and then kind of blew over. Well, Rubio did something similar. He did, and of course, he's more powerful than Walker, but he decided to insert himself in the issue. So they put this wording in that appropriations bill that, given the light of all this stuff bubbling up, we want some files and reports from the government, and we're giving a deadline of 180 days from the signing of the bill, which is pretty generous, right? Plenty of time.
When do we expect that bill to be signed, though?
No, I think the bill is signed. In fact, I know it's signed.
Okay, when did that happen?
Oh, God. It was...
Because now we're counting down the date,
yeah,
right?
I think it was like toward the end of September, end of October, end of November, and December, end of January, end of February. It might even be early September. I think it was September, sometime in September, which puts the deadline in March. Okay, early, middle, late March. Now,
okay, and okay. Like, is Ratcliffe still in place then?
Well, Ratcliffe is
Is there going to be a shakeup where they take Esper and Ratcliffe out?
No.
Okay, Ratcliffe, that Esper is gone. Okay, Esper is gone as of now.
Right.
As far as Ratcliffe is concerned, as soon as Joseph Biden takes over as president, he's gone. Well, maybe
no.
2 hours later, but Ratcliffe is not somebody who has endeared himself to Democrats. So it'd be pretty quick.
Well, look, that's fine. I mean, Ratcliffe was put in charge of the O&I in terms of these reports and so forth, which was kind of a signal that they're serious. And if he's replaced, then the guy to replace is going to be in charge of the O&I. But the point I'm trying to make here is first of all, that is the deadline. The government or agencies could deliver information to the committees any time it wants now. It has till 180 days. That doesn't mean it couldn't do it sooner. All right. So that's all very convenient. And it's notable that, if I'm right, when they do decide to bring this information forward, the hearings will already be underway. Now, some people are concluding that the game is, the agenda here, is that, okay, Rubio puts that stuff into the bill, requiring this information to come in, say it comes in at March, and then once the information comes in, we'll use that as the platform to launch the hearings. And therefore people will say, well, what if they come in with not much? What if they stonewall and give you a bunch of nonsense? Then I guess that cuts it off. No. I think the hearings
right.
are separate of that.
Well,
this will
sorry about that. Yeah, because this is it's going to be a classified annex. So it's not like it's going to be necessarily public. It's just supposed to be done. So whether or not we get to see it is still yet another question, right?
We've got another question to answer, and Stephen will do it in a moment with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Thousands descended on Washington, D.C. Saturday to march in support of President Donald Trump and express their belief that the 2020 presidential election was rigged against him. This protester told News Nation that he didn't trust state elections officials who have said there was no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
And the reason why I don't trust it is simple. You need a license to drive a car, go fishing, hunting, everything. Marriage license. Why can't we have voter ID? I think if Donald Trump said he trusts the election, he would just be conceding, and he's not about that.
Fewer Americans are expected to travel for Thanksgiving this year due to a rise in coronavirus cases. AAA says they expect at least 10% fewer people to travel for the holiday, breaking an 11-year streak of increased travel for Thanksgiving. Air travel is expected to be reduced by half, but car travel should still be popular. The Auto Club says it's expecting fewer drivers, but thinks about 48 million Americans will still hit the road for Turkey Day. This is USA Radio News. One meal delivery app is taking itself public. Kenneth Burns has the details from the USA Radio News East Coast Bureau.
Delivery company DoorDash is planning to sell its stock to the public. The San Francisco-based company filed papers signaling its intent for an initial public offering Friday. The company is capitalizing on the growing trend of consumers embracing app-based deliveries as much of the world stays home during the pandemic. Last year, DoorDash generated $885 million in revenue. During the first 9 months of this year, revenue more than doubled that number. It was already growing before the pandemic, but the company has lost money each year since its founding. They've warned potential investors the losses could continue as they anticipate increasing expenses.
SpaceX will try again Sunday to launch its second manned spaceflight. High winds and bad weather led to Mission Control scrapping Saturday's scheduled launch, citing difficulties in landing and recovering the rocket's booster. The next window for launch will be Sunday evening around 7:30 p.m. Eastern. The flight will take three astronauts to the International Space Station. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Being the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. Exactly according to my plan.
So, Randall raised a question about the politics. Is this going to be something done in secret? What about it, Stephen Bassett?
Now, if you read your articles on it, the reports will have a classified annex. In other words, there will be material that will be made readily available, but there will be a classified portion as well. I mean, that's standard procedure. There's nothing unusual about that. What is most important here is not that requirement in the appropriations bill. What that did was get Rubio into the game. So he's in there. He can say, hey, I was doing my part. Put some pressure on the military intelligence complex. Come up with some info. Remember, he's asking for files just like Clinton did. Well, Clinton was told to go to pound sand. Obviously, times have changed. And so it got some good news, got some good cred for Rubio. Fine. But is that somehow the path to where we're going? No. They come up with some standard files and information that doesn't really shed much light. And everybody will be screaming cover up from one end to the other.
Yeah, but I can just see this now. Well,
look,
we hope.
If you want to see what the hearings are going to be like, watch the Unidentified series. Watch all 14 shows and pay close attention to all of the military witnesses that they're talking to. Don't be surprised if every single one of them doesn't end up in front of a congressional committee. I've said this many times. The most important, I guess, vector in the disclosure movement is military witnesses. And always has been. And the citizen science activist movement has done its part to get witnesses out. Leslie Kane, James Fox, Robert Hastings, Bob Salas, myself, all of us have put witnesses into the public domain, held press conferences at the National Press Club, done what we could to get their testimony out. And great. But never hearings in front of the Congress. That's the next step. And
hey, Stephen.
Yes.
Have you seen James Fox's new documentary yet, The Phenomenon?
I haven't been able to get access to the whole thing. I've read a number of reviews. I've seen the trailer. Got a pretty good idea about it. I know it's fabulous. It's something else that's helping to advance the issue. Not surprisingly, well, maybe this way. James struggled with his doc for many years, and he had a lot of problems that otherwise it would have come out sooner. But because of all the problems he had, it delayed the completion of the doc such that he was able to get the TTSA people into it. And so the doc includes TTSA stuff, includes Christopher Mellon, who, by the way, made an interesting statement in that doc we can talk about. And so that made it even more powerful. And so James Fox and his documentary will be seen as playing a very important role in these last days, this unfolding process. James may even get a chance to testify in front of Congress. I certainly would invite him. Again, it's the military witnesses, and that's what they have been gathering. I don't know how many witnesses they have on a list right now, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was 100. And these are the ones that will come to the Hill to testify about a lot of things, including nuclear weapons tampering events. And that's going to be super powerful stuff. They will be under oath. And, you know, I don't see any of the standard debunkers. Well, they probably will anyway. They'll start writing stupid stuff out there about, well, I don't know, the guy's a colonel and a jet pilot, but who knows, maybe he's on cocaine now or whatever the hell they're going to come up with and try to debunk these guys. Totally waste of time. It's not going to work. That is the testimony that will ultimately put the president in a position to disclose. Once the president has confirmed the ET presence, then the hearings can expand, right, beyond purely national security issues and military personnel to private citizens and other things. And ultimately, and I'm going to put this on record right now, those congressional hearings will deal with contact. And for those who say, no way, Jose, let me just say this. One of the most important developments of recent times was the last episode of the Identified series, season 2, in which, and Billy Cox wrote a great article about this on his Devoid blog. He called it Rolling the Bones. They brought the ET contact issue into play. Robert Hastings, interesting enough, was the focus because Robert eventually came out as a contactee, but also the top researcher in nuclear weapons tampering, which they'd already covered. And they brought forward a number of military guys who had, I guess you could say, missing time. So what Mellon has done there, either with the go-ahead from the insiders or on his own in order to help ensure that this issue does not get blanked out, was to say, look, we're not idiots, right? We talk about planes and tic tacs and radar returns and all of that stuff, but we're not idiots. We haven't completely managed to miss the massive evidence for contact experiences that has been emerging for 30 solid years. And so, yeah, that's in play too. And I was extremely pleased to see that. And so I will predict now that it will be after disclosure. It won't be before that the hearings will expand and contact is going to come into play. And whatever the audience was for the first round of hearings, I don't even want to put a number on the number of people that are going to be watching the contact hearings in the House and Senate with contactees, some military, talking about their direct experiences with extraterrestrials. You want to put a number on that? 2 billion, 3 million people?
Before we go into that, I wanted to mention something about the phenomenon. Because if you sign up for the Paracast Plus, we give you the ad-free version of this show and the After the Paracast podcast, where Stephen will be back to appear on for this weekend, you can choose, you know, monthly, annual, etc. If you go for 5 years or lifetime subscriptions to the Paracast Plus at the special low prices, we'll give you a coupon code. For the phenomenon, so you can watch and download the phenomenon and get the 3 hours of extra material. If you want to sign up to the Paracast Plus, just go to the Paracast.plus. That's the Paracast.plus. In any case, one more thing I'll announce, and that is that my old friend David Halperin, will be on the Paracast next week. He has written a blog about the phenomenon, and this gets to be more of a skeptical approach because he says three of the key sightings shown there have conventional explanations. So you'll want to hear next week's episode. But in any case here, James Fox told us when he was on the Paracast that this movie is going to be a marathon. So I get the impression there that this is something that's going to be promoted for a long time. It's not going to be just like any movie documentary where it comes and goes. Is that your feeling, Stephen?
Well, yeah. I encourage everybody to support that movie. However, buy it, rent it, get it through Paracast, whatever. James put his heart and soul in it. He's got a kid now. They put a lot of money in it. They lost the opportunity for what would have been the first ever theatrical distribution that would have brought in substantial sums, as well as he also lost an opportunity for a cable streaming deal that would have also generated a great deal of money. So now it comes down to the sales of the direct sales. So please do that. Support this film. Look. He was utterly disparate over is that the word disparate? No, that's not the word. He was incredibly upset over how things went down. But I believe, and I told him that ultimately he's going to love the way it works out because the documentary is coming out what as we're heading towards those hearings. All right, it includes people in it that are going to be in the hearings. He has more than enough material to do a director's cut with another 30, 40 minutes, which he could then re-market next year, possibly after disclosure. And, you know, everybody loves a director's cut, right? Who doesn't love a director's cut?
So well, if you're a fan of Zack Snyder, you're going to get, of course, the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League coming up this coming year on HBO Max. They're going to take what was a two-hour movie, and he's going to go back to the original version, 4 hours, 4 one-hour episodes as a miniseries. I mean, we're looking forward to that. But this is the phenomenon. As I said, there's 3 hours of extra material. So James has plenty of footage there to build a director's cut. Definitely. Stephen Bassett, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com.
Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word GEORGE and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Of course, we're talking to Stephen Bassett, predicting what he expects to be disclosure in 2021. Now, whenever we have you on, Stephen, we get people who are more skeptical or pessimistic, and they say, look, this guy's been talking disclosure for years. It never happens. Why can we expect things to be different in 2021?
You know, I think about the civil rights movement. they tried to get the end of segregation and civil rights laws for many years, and every year they're saying it could be the next year. And it could be the next year. you couldn't have much of a civil rights movement if everybody went out, say, in 1952 and said, okay, here's the deal. We need you to march. We need you to sign up. We need you to volunteer. But we're not going to get a Civil Rights Act for 42 more years. Understand? That's pretty much what it is. So you have to cut the activist movement slack on things like that. Secondly, I didn't put every year. I didn't constantly say every year. There were times when it was absolutely out of the question. After Trump was elected, I went 3 years, never said a thing. So it comes and goes. There have been opportunities. There have been favorable situations. It's like the doomsday clock on nuclear war. There were years when the clock was close to midnight and it was further away. So it's been that way with disclosure. So if I think it looks promising, I say so. I'm not dumb enough. I've never gone out and said, yeah, there's going to be disclosure on, you know, January the 15th at 9 p.m. No. Other people do things like that. I don't do that. But I'm an activist. I'm trying to get people focused and stay focused on something incredibly important until we get the prize. And the prize, of course, is disclosure. Now, I will say this. I'll add to this. One last thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I have never felt more confident about what's about to take place than at any time in the 23 years I've been in this. And it's based upon very hard evidence. We have a lot of information about what happened since the TTSA launched in 2017. And there are things going on which are unprecedented. Never happened before on a broader scale than ever before. In other words, the exopolitical engagement of this issue has never been at this level. And so it's, I think, a very reasonable thing to say, okay, what's going to happen next? And it just screams at me. Big neon lights. The congressional hearings we've been wanting since 1968 finally are going to happen. And they're going to happen at a time when the evidence is so massive, the number of witnesses so great, that there is no way in hell they're going to hold a one-day hearing and say, well, we tried. No. This is going to be the hearing that wraps it up.
Okay, so here I'm thinking, and you guys can maybe both help me out here. I'm in Canada. I'm not really entirely sure how politics works at the best of times here, or even let alone there.
So, well, you know what? There are a lot of people who pretend they know how politics works in the U.S., but they're just pretending. So I wouldn't even begin to prejudge or have any expectations about politics in your country. Go ahead, please, Randall.
Thanks. But my feeling about this is that, well, wouldn't true disclosure simply bypass hearings altogether? I mean, if these people who are deep down inside the government who have all of it have decided that it's time for it to come out, wouldn't they simply take this to the daily brief of the president and say, this is what we have to do, and then assign it to, say, NASA, who would have a big press conference, and then just lay it all out for everyone? I mean, aren't hearings designed to sort of uncover things that they're not voluntarily necessarily disclosing in the first place, is kind of what I'm saying.
Oh. Well, here's a analogy that maybe will get the point across. If you were part of a circus troupe, high wire act, well, a group of you, and you're all very close, great friends, love each other, and one of your troupe is up on the high wire, 100 feet above the ground, or whatever, would you think that was a good time to tell them their mother just died? Probably not. So, it's not, truth is important, but when you're talking about its effects on people, nations, and so forth, that has to be factored in. So, it's not just what do you tell, it's how do you tell, what are the circumstances? And it is true that any one of the presidents of the last 70 years could have simply called a press conference and ended this embargo. Bingo. And they didn't. And they all had reasons. And the reasons varied over time. So as we get to the end, overall, the situation is far more favorable and far less concerning than it has been in the past. But it's still a big deal. And so, from the standpoint of the military intelligence complex, from the standpoint of the Congress and the American people, it is far better to hold, bring evidence now in a formal way under oath in front of the American people, in front of the Congress with questions being asked, information coming out, over a period of weeks, I would think, at least, and then have the president confirm that the evidence clearly indicates an extraterrestrial presence, and we're confirming that to you, than to have the president simply cut through all that, and not even do that, just come out and say, hey, there's extraterrestrials here. All right, now the Congress isn't upset. What the hell? What's going on? Why haven't we been told? Why haven't been able to brief some of these things? The DOD is embarrassed. The American people are going, what the hell's going on? It's just not responsible. It would end the truth embargo, just like if Putin did it tomorrow. Truth embargo's over. Is that a good thing? No, not really. And the other thing is, when you've got an issue of this magnitude, people's lives and careers are involved here, at stake. And, you know, it's a classic win-win-win-win-win thing. If you're going to do something of great import, you want it to be winners. Everybody wins. Not five entities lose and one wins. And so with a hearing process, the Congress, the legislative branch, wins. It's doing a great job. It's part of this process. The members of the committees win. The political parties win. The media gets a chance to really get involved, covering all of this, stories everywhere. The journalists win. The publishers win. The DOD, of course, is where a lot of these witnesses are coming from. And the DOD, of course, has already made a move to be on the right side of history here. That's one of the reasons why you're seeing what's going on. So the DOD is kind of set up to win. Right? The president obviously wins. The president will be the disclosure president. The country wins because you got this extraordinary new information and it's done in an appropriate way. And now we can move forward. And overall, the planet wins. So that is the win-win-win-win-win scenario. So if I'm running the show, that's what you shoot for.
Okay.
Now, is it easy?
Okay. Well, hang on here.
Yeah.
I kind of see what you're saying, right? But I think that the kind of disclosure that people imagine when coming from the government aren't a bunch of hearings with witnesses who are retired who say they saw something. They want to see something like, say, you know, coming out of an official department of the government, say like NASA, where they get up there and they go, here it is. Here's the information. Here's a piece of the alien ship. Here's our films on the alien ship. This is what we've got. Anyone can come and see it. You can go to the NASA website. You can log on, and we're going to have a tour, and you can go down to the NASA grounds, and you can go through all of it and see it for yourself. I think that's what you want, because I don't think that hearings are really going to convince a lot of people unless they've got something more concrete coming out of an official agency that says, yes, we've been doing this for years, and here it is. Here's all of the stuff we've got. Here's the pictures from our satellites. Here's our radar data. Here's parts of the craft and all of it. I mean, we need all of it, not just these sort of, okay, well, you know, once upon a time, I was in the Army or the Air Force, or I was in a nuclear missile base, and somebody told me there was a UFO up above, and I believe them. You know, I mean, we need more than that.
Of course. But understand, first of all, one of the jobs, one of my tasks, and one of the things I worked to accomplish was to try to clarify things. Sure, people all have different ideas about what they want and should get and what disclosure means and so forth. I get that. My job is to try to focus, to try to say, look, here's what it means. Right? Let's try to keep it simple and basic. What is disclosure? Capital D. It's the confirmation of the presence of ETs. That's all. That's all it is. And that's what we have to get. So you have to think of this in two parts. Post-disclosure, pre-disclosure. We're in the last days of the truth embargo, pre-disclosure. So in order to get where we have to go, so that everybody is happy, or most everybody is happy, is first we have to get the confirmation. In order to get the confirmation, we've got to create a comfortable situation for the president and the Congress and the DOD. The hearings that I'm talking about that are coming are to accomplish that. In other words, you bring in military witnesses about a number of cases and so forth. Not whistleblowers, not people are going to uncover the deep, dark, evil secrets of Area 51. I'm talking about witnesses to sightings, including nuclear weapons tampering, which, you know, say Bob Salas and some of the other witnesses like that will be there. Right, that's pretty heavy stuff.
We got more to come, more with Stephen Bassett and Gene and Randall. On Disclosure, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.